What up, everybody? Welcome back to Anything But Credible, aka the ABC Pod. My name is Dugues. I got the ride or die with me, Keith. What's up, Kill?
What up, dude?
Griff is out this week, but I think we safe to say we found a solid replacement all the way from Chicago in studio with us. We got the hilarious Steve Ranch with us. What's up, Steve?
What's going on? What's going on, everybody? How's it going? How you living?
Steve, this is funny, man, because, you know, it's one of those things we talked before, and it's like, hey, I'm in Chicago, you know, let's make something work. Okay. And it just so happens that you come on right after, you know, last week we had Rafe on, so now we got back-to-back STO up late guys, other side of the track guys.
Yep.
You know, and you guys did and probably still do a bunch of stuff together, or at least keep in contact for sure. I know you're in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we got a little bit of back-to-back action here, man. What's going on with you?
Not a whole lot, man. In town for a wedding tomorrow, so it's nice to be back in St. Louis. Just been chilling up in Chicago. Moved up last June, end of last June, so I'm coming up on my first year, and it's been good. It's been good.
Just good?
Yeah, it's been great, but it's been, I would say, trying in the sense of, like, it's more of a hustle, no doubt, like, because you cut out your support system in a way,
yeah,
so it's like...
Well, for sure.
You kind of move up, like, I know I moved up at least being kind of like, fucking Chicago, dude, it's going to be so sick, going to be riding the train. It's yeah. like, and then you get there and you're like, oh, it's just kind of like a hustle like everywhere else, you know, and you just sort of settle back into your, but it's cool, man, it's a cool city. Long fucking winters, so yeah. I've just been working. And
man, break that down for me though, like, because I've never been to Chicago. Keith, you ever been to Chicago at all?
No, I have not.
Like, so, you guys have never been?
Never been.
Oh, no. You gotta go.
Like, explain that to me a little bit. Like, what's the difference between living, you know, I mean, what is it, 5 hours? 5 hour yeah. drive or something?
Yeah, in a car, you probably make it in like five if everything went according to
plan. Do we take
plan.
The ABC podcast on the road?
I was gonna say, dude. Maybe next stop's at Steve's place.
Yeah. Though.
We'll record at my place.
We just invited ourselves over. So
it's cribbity.
Break it up, man. Explain, break it down for me a little bit. Like, what would you say, like, the main, I mean, other than obviously taking the, what do they call it? Railway? What do they call that?
Yeah, they call it the L.
The L? Okay.
Yeah, because it's elevated. I just learned that actually not too long ago because it's elevated. Now, I don't know if that's true. It's like the CTA, but everyone says, like, oh, you take the L.
They don't call it the E.
Not the E, not the Metro. I call it the train. I'm going to take the train, man.
They're like, where's this guy from?
Right.
So, what, I mean, what would you say the main
big differences?
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of the same, but, you know, I think the big difference is the population, obviously, is so much bigger. So, like, St. Louis is like a town in a sense. Like, and I don't, it's probably just because I'm from here, but it's more like it feels like a smaller, tight knit community more so because it's not as chaotic. Like,
for sure. I could, like, see that.
Yeah.
People can't afford to, like, stop and talk as much because you're, like, so worried about drowning in the fucking chaos of the city and keeping your bills paid and your shit up that it's more like head down, go to work on the train, don't look at me, I got shit to do. So, like, that element is different, you know? And
for sure.
And I don't have a car, so that was a big adjustment.
Oh, I can see that, yeah.
Oh, that would be hard for me.
Yeah.
Not having that, like, independence. Of just, like, hopping in your car. And
yeah. Well, especially, like, being here in St. Louis, like, yeah, we have the Metro, but realistically, I mean, getting around, I mean, it's pretty tough in St. Louis
to
not.
Yeah, a car.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be taking a lot of buses more than you are going to take them. Well, I don't know about that. It could be than the Metro, but I don't know if that's true, but it's definitely not, like, where you hop on
you're going to be walking a lot more.
Yeah, that's true. Probably, yeah.
Fuck that. Right. Yeah. I don't walk.
And it is a lot more walking. Like, you're outside walking and you just kind of have to, like, turn your brain off in February when it's, or fucking December when
it's
like
way
minus
worse?
Five.
Way worse than here?
And you're walking to work. Yeah. The winter's worse. It's longer. I was telling Keith before we started that, like, the main difference in the winter, because they said it was a mild one, this last one, but, like, the main difference was that it's longer. So it's like,
okay.
When you're in St. Louis, it's like February. You're like, all right, we're at the tail end of this shit. Like, four more weeks, we're out of March. We're good to go. And I was like, dude, I was wearing a coat in April. Like, I was walking to work with a Carhartt in April.
Man.
No.
All through. Yeah, even a couple times in May.
That's crazy. Because I was just going to say, like, here, we didn't even actually have that bad of a winter. I mean, we've talked about that before. I mean, it
got cold, but, like,
it wasn't crazy, though.
It doesn't seem like it was when we were kids, you know? like the winters overall. Maybe that's, I don't know if that's a perception deal where it's like your perception changes and you I just think it was worse.
Perception deal, because I think this year was a mild winter, but last year, 2015, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, it was miserable.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, God, it was miserable. Because I remember that vividly. A lot of snow plowing.
Yeah, they said
that sucked.
They said up there, there's a street called Lakeshore Drive for people who don't know Chicago. It's like right by the lake. Like the lake, the city kind of is situated all along the lake, which is another kind of cool part, cool difference.
Okay.
But talking about like winter snow and shit, they had a snowstorm up there like 5 years ago that abandoned like 900 cars on Lakeshore because the drifts, the snow drifts were higher than the roof of the cars.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I couldn't imagine that. And like, was the city wasn't shut down or anything?
People that just... They say that that level of snow will fuck the city up.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But like, we got, when I was up there in like November, man, it snowed like 8-9 inches and it was like no one was talking about it.
Yeah, just regular.
Oh, wow.
It was like, I walked to work and I was like, oh, fuck, we got like 7 inches of snow. And then I got to work and shit was good. The whole city was fine.
They're like, yeah, Steve, it's Tuesday. It's cool.
There's, there's no like, oh, man, the weather was bad. It's like, no, everyone goes to work. Yeah, and
people around
still
here
does
would be
it.
Freaking out. I mean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the stores would definitely be sold out of breads, eggs, and milk.
Yeah.
People, no doubt. Yeah,
the staples, man.
Yeah. I guess they're making French toast, dude. I never understood that.
I don't get
that
either, dude.
It's so like depression era.
Yeah, like,
honey, go get some bread, milk, and eggs.
Yeah, like, come on, man. You know,
like, I never understood that. Like,
I've never gone to the store and gotten a thing of milk and eggs and water and stuff. I've never done that.
This is what I'm going to need to survive. Yeah.
So what we're going to do here, guys, is Steve, we'll come back to you here in a minute.
Cool.
And we'll check in. We'll talk to Steve for a second. And then I think we'll be able to jump into a theory. Griff is out this week, so I'm taking his spot, and so we'll ride with that, see how that goes, and then if we have time after that, we'll get into a couple dumb news stories, but we'll do that all just depending on the time and situation, what we're running into. But first, Keith, let me ask you, man, it's been a week since we sat down, man. What's up with you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah,
I'm doing good. Everything is good in my life besides four-way stops.
Oh.
Double lane four-way stops.
Double lane?
Specifically.
Whoa.
All right?
Okay.
Okay. Everybody's been in a four-way stop in a car with two lanes on either side, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So I live next to a double lane stop. Four-way stop. And every time I pull up to this fucking stop, somebody on the other side of the street, right? They're going, but the car next to him stays there.
Oh, you got to go with the other car.
Yeah,
you
and then to. They think they're allowed to go after that other car while I'm trying to make my left. And oh man, does it piss me off. Because I'll just make my left and they'll slam on their brakes, flip me off, say fuck you, you know. And I just don't give a fuck, to tell you the truth. Because you should have went with the other car. I mean, I couldn't tell you how many stop signs I've rolled just to go with the other car next to me because I knew they were going to go. That's the only issue I have from this past week. Just really stuck with me, man.
Well, man,
and my brother were talking about this. Oh, it pissed us both off.
Dude, I'm with you. I mean, rule number one is like, dude, even if you just pull up to the light and you're like, okay, I should stop here. But the guy next to you goes and it's a double, you got to go.
You got to go with
him. See, that's the big thing is, I guess it was either early this week or late last week, driving to work after one of those thunderstorms last week.
Yeah.
A bunch of lights went out. And stuff. And so when those lights are flashing, it's
don't
not,
get me started how retarded people act when they see red flashing lights.
So it basically turns into that, but it's way more because you got all these left-hand lanes and then it's just, so then it's really like, you're either going to be the guy that goes or if the guy next to you, you just got to, just do it.
It's one of those things, you have to be the asshole or you have to just go with the flow of traffic. Even if you just bump the stop and go with the other guy, you're golden in my book. You're good to go, man.
Yeah, it's like
because the other guy's already going. You might as well roll with him,
right?
Yeah. Sorry, got off.
I hear you.
It pissed me off,
dude. It's funny. We always, Steve, when we start bitching and stuff, it always ends up being about something about driving. I don't know why. It's like he's gonna be looking at us like, guys, I haven't driven a car in a year.
Yeah,
my favorite thing to do in St. Louis is just to run stoplights.
Explain yourself.
Like late at night, I'll go down Kings Highway. It's like super late. You know when there's like not a car around?
Yeah. Dude, yeah. That's like, so true. I've ran.
Oh, fuck yeah. And they don't have red light cameras anymore down here?
Yep.
Oh, man, dude. I'll just cruise. I'll run like 9 in a row and just. dude.
And it's like, that's
nine.
Dude, I love it.
Dude, Hampton and Chippewa, man. I used to run that son of a bitch all the time. Then they installed the camera, and I was like, oh, God, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
The new thing I've been seeing.
Piss me off.
I got to go to Clayton every day, so it's like just a complete shithole of driving. And the new thing I've been seeing is people, what they do is they'll be stopped at the red light, and then so then they got the green lights. The green arrows, I mean. You know, the green arrow goes before you can go on a green.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. So if that green arrow hits, and I've seen this like out of the past couple weeks, few weeks, I've seen it numerous times. I don't know why, but I didn't see it before. Haven't seen before. But basically, if that other person can tell that no one's in that left-hand lane in that arrow, they'll just go. And even though they have a red, the arrow is green, and they know no one's coming, so they'll just go. And so I'm like, you literally only get like a 30-second jump start. That's right. All you get. And then,
well, like, I feel like if they get pulled over, they have an excuse. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's probably why they go, oh, I thought they were all turning green, you know?
I guess so.
That's what I would... That's what would be going on in my mind.
Yeah,
like,
I guess.
Oh, I have a perfect excuse. Nobody's going to give me a ticket for that.
I guess so. That's a good point.
That's
like,
what I do.
So my thing is like, okay, so yesterday, I'm driving to work, okay? So it's like 7:30 in the morning. I'm driving up Highway 40. Every morning, 40 comes to a complete stop, generally around the same area. It's right around Kings Highway, on-ramp, off-ramp, whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we're coming to a stop. It's one of those things where everyone starts, you know you're coming to a stop. Everyone is generally driving the same speed because you're all going to come to a stop. And I'm all the way on the right. And I look over to my left just because I'm just looking over. And the lady driving the car has a fucking IV bag.
No.
Hanging from, you know, the passenger side, some cars have like the handle where you're just like,
yeah. The oh shit handle.
No joke is like, have you guys ever seen, you guys have seen Taken, right?
Uh-huh.
There's like a scene in Taken when he actually like saves, I don't know if it's his daughter or one of the girls, and he like makes a makeshift IV bag out of like a clothes hanger. He just like bends an iron hanger and is like makes an IV bag because he's awesome, whatever.
Obviously,
no joke,
yeah.
This chick had one of those metal coat hangers. And I swear to God, it was an IV bag with tubes running. And she was driving with her left hand. And I could see, you know, I can't see in her car, but I could see that her right arm was like laying on the other seat. And I'm thinking, so I start thinking, I'm like, okay, well, obviously somebody had a rough Wednesday night.
Well, yeah, that's my first thought every time I see somebody with an IV bag. Like, no, you're not terminally ill.
No.
You just had an awesome night last night. That's, you're really hungover. You know,
now you say that, I kind of feel bad because like she could have been like had some real.
Yeah, she just busted out of the hospital. It's like fuck this place.
Oh, that's true too. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Hit the road, got on the lam.
So I started thinking though, like, what if in the future we see like somebody makes, you know, like I'm always watching Shark Tank and shit. Like somebody makes like a portable IV that you just like go out and go hard one night on a Tuesday or something, wake up the next day, you just like plug it in your arm and like push a button or something. Dude, and
I guarantee they have it in Vegas. I bet you they do.
Vegas has like those trucks and those stands that like drive around and it'll hook you up. But I'm saying just like it almost look like a water bottle, but instead it's an IV bottle and you just like hit a button. It just like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, okay. Like, almost like a EpiPen. Like shove it in you and like, you're good to go, dude.
Like,
got
is some that adrenaline in there?
Right.
Yeah.
You just get like a quick IV,
like, or maybe like an oxygen mask too. That's like portable, dude. Oh, that'd be sick.
That'd be terrible though if our world came to that, because it'd be just way too much drinking. Yeah, people would be like going. Oh yeah, people would be out just drinking every night,
and then be perfectly fine for their job tomorrow. That sounds great,
dude. Who knows what the fuck they're gonna come up with in the future,
true.
Man? It's getting weird. Every day is getting more weird, man.
Dude, honestly, I live life like they're gonna make new parts. So like I'm just hoping somehow they're gonna start coming up with new levers.
They are.
Yeah. Yeah. That's gonna be the best part, dude.
That's what's fucked up is like they're printing organs and shit with 3D printers and using like cellular tissue machines to like build like parts for hip replacements and stuff, and now they're doing fucking organs already.
That's crazy. Sick.
Yeah,
dude,
crazy.
It's crazy, man.
I can't wait to be immortal.
Dude.
My brother's sister, she's a nurse, and this came up in our group text last night. They're trying their first head transplant.
What soon. The fuck? Like whole head?
Yeah. Like somebody's head on a new body.
It reminds me of that movie Mars Attacks. Have you guys ever seen Mars Attacks?
Yes.
And they like cut that guy's head off and he's still like Dude, they put it in like a little jar or something.
How?
I don't know, dude. I guess you're still alive for like a little bit if you get them sewed up quick enough. I don't know, man.
Dude, if it's a time thing, that those guys got to have the quickest hands, man. Those guys got to be like...
Or maybe it's like a Futurama type deal. They'll store it in like a jar of liquid or something.
Yeah,
you know?
It could be. I don't know how that works, but
I don't know.
They definitely have technology. I mean, you can look a bunch of podcasts that have like cell rebuilding cells and, you know, just like, I don't know. I obviously don't know the science, like body stuff, but right. Like they're rebuilding like parts. Not only organs and stuff, but like cells and enzymes and stuff. So yeah. Could
Dude,
be like a rebuild.
We all have doctorates in bro science, so I'm pretty sure we're golden to talk about this.
Yeah. We know.
Yeah, yeah we know. Exactly.
Like, anything but credible, man.
Electrolytes. Yeah. Duh. Yeah.
So, okay, let's get back to you, Steve, man. So, like I said before, you and Rafe, who we just had on last week, you know, you guys had the Other Side of the Tracks podcast, which was fucking awesome. And we told everybody it's still out there on Apple Podcasts. You guys need to go listen to that. It's only like 12 episodes or something, but it's great. And other than that, man, the STL Uplate too, you can catch a bunch of Steve's stuff on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And also I wanted to ask you about, are you still doing the improv? I mean, in Chicago, you doing the improv? Like where's the comedy at for you right now?
Yeah, I'm in a class at Second City right now in the conservatory.
Oh, wow. Really? Second City? That's huge.
I work there too.
Oh, wow.
Like I've been working there for like a little under a year doing maintenance. So that's just awesome. Basically cleaning and fixing shit. But
that's huge though, right? Second City is like big, big time. I mean,
it's
that's like
huge too.
I mean,
it's
that's a known
like,
place.
Yeah, yeah. And it's cool because it's the same stage. Like the main stage is like I take a shit like right where. You see, like, Tom Hanks signed the wall and Chris Farley and shit.
It's awesome.
It's cool because it's the main room is still the same stage. So it's like,
that's awesome.
It kind of still has that sort of soul to it, you know?
And like you said, Chris Farley, like legends.
Steve Carell.
Will Ferrell.
What's his name? I think Will Ferrell was Groundlings. We'll count it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Even guys that like me,
I haven't done my research,
but you still know the place though. Like that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, that's
big. Oh yeah.
Yeah. And so it's cool. But it's crazy because it's kind of exploded. I mean, it's like, it's huge. I mean, it's not even just. It's not. It's different than what it was. You know. But okay. So I'm doing that, and I'm doing. I pick up shows wherever I can. Improv shows. I got a team called Old Judge with two buddies from St. Louis. We perform shows up there.
Oh, cool.
Just doing like long form improv and. Trying to do podcast, radio, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, sketch.
We'll at the end of the show, man, we'll give you a second here to plug all your stuff. That's what we're trying to do. Highlight. Well, you know, I tell everybody this, man. We're trying to highlight cool people doing cool shit. And if you're from St. Louis at any point, then like we're especially on you. You know, ABC Pod, man, we're big on your team, man. And the other thing I wanted to ask you too, man, is I just looked the other day, you know, we had Rafe on last week, who was doing one of his characters was the Trump, was the Ronnie Trump.
Uh huh.
Oh yeah, Ronnie Jenkins Trump.
Ronnie Jenkins Trump, and he teamed up with the excuse me, Libby Higgins, right?
Yeah, Libby.
And you got in both of their videos together.
Yeah.
I think you guys can look it up on YouTube. I think it's called Date Night.
Yeah.
If you don't know about Excuse Me, you're super, super, super late. You should definitely look that up, because that's hilarious, and it went viral. But the Date Night, last time I looked, it's almost at 600,000 views.
Oh, is it really?
Like a lot, I'm pretty sure. No idea.
I had my shirt off in a dumpster, and I'm like playing the retarded son.
Yeah, you're like their kid.
RJ, yeah.
Let me see if I can
find that was pretty great, man.
Yeah, we were wanting to do more with that kind of, with those ideas. We were wanting to kind of try to write something for that, but it's sort of at a standstill, you know. Libby crushes it. She's got her characters and stuff that she still does stand-up and stuff in character.
Okay, it's at 480,000 views right now.
Damn.
One of my favorite sketches you guys did was the blind ghost hunter.
Oh, yeah. That was fucking hilarious.
Dark.
Yeah.
That was good. That was really good.
Yeah, that was fun. I miss shooting those videos, man. STL Uplate was a great time.
Yeah. You guys did some great stuff, man. And
it was fun.
I was just a couple days ago, I was watching a bunch of STL Uplate stuff. And the one thing it came across was you and Bobby doing... the stoner talk or whatever. Do you remember that? Man, yeah. That was funny. That was like super simple, but that was just, it was just funny. Yeah. You know, funny writing, funny. I don't even know. Was that just, did you guys just freestyle that when you got on there? Or was that?
It was written. I can't remember who wrote it, but it was like a written script. But a lot of the scripts that like we wrote up when we would shoot, we would be fucking around and somebody would come up with a tagline or improvise a little spot and we would change them. And it was kind of a fluid, you know, process as we shot. What was funny about that is we shot that out in Edwardsville, I think it was. And we shot it like pretty late at night on like a weeknight, I think. And we were at a bar that was shut down and this, we were sitting at a table by the window, right? And while we were shooting, this guy walked by, this like shady looking kind of cat with like long hair and kind of dirty looking, and just like went like and like banged on the window seat,
right?
And just dropped his pants and spread his ass cheeks and showed us his asshole.
The chocolate like, covered starfish.
Dude, he just was like and just like spread his asshole and showed it to us, and then just ran down the street.
You're like, that's a way to start the shoot right there, man.
Yeah, that's one way to do it.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And I know Griff. I know Griff's favorite man is not one of his favorites. One of the ones he always brings up is the ID, the Sunday ID.
Rafe, you and Rafe. Rafe wrote that. That was a lot of fun.
That's hilarious. That was hilarious, man. You guys were good. You guys were both great in that, man.
The dad was like more of a fuck up than the kid. He's like, I know you got a rusty trombone, somebody. He's like throwing out all this nasty shit.
I just wanted to vote, Dad.
So yeah, if you're out there listening, man, go look up all these videos, man. STL Up Late. You can just type in Steve Raines. It'll come up from the STL Up Late stuff. All these videos that we're talking about. Really funny stuff that they did. And like I said, too, the Other Side of the Tracks is what the podcast is called. So, Steve, but, you know, before we get really started, man, what we do is when we get somebody new on the show, especially if you're here, we like to get to know you a little bit. We want everyone listen to get to know you a little bit. And we figure the best way to do that is some icebreakers, man. You down to answer a couple questions?
100%.
All right. I got to start off right off the bat. Steve, ketchup or mustard?
Mustard. On your hot dog.
Well, a hot dog?
Yeah.
Mustard, 100%.
You went mustard both ways?
Yeah. Mustard is the superior condiment.
You got to let them answer the first question, though, because what you want on your hot dog is not necessarily the same as an overall condiment. I mean, you probably use ketchup more than you use mustard overall.
Yeah, on fries. Well, but,
I mean, that's it, dude. That's the only thing you use ketchup for, man.
Ketchup's not that good. Mustard isn't that good, but on a hot dog, it's fucking amazing. And on any kind of like...
Well, isn't that Chicago? We always talk about it in Chicago. Isn't it like a law, basically? You can't get ketchup?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't,
they make it like such a big deal. They got this place up there called the Wiener Circle that you and it's like they assault you when you go there and buy a hot dog is like the whole thing. Have you guys seen this?
Oh, it's a TV show. Yes, I've seen the show.
Fuck you, motherfucker, you white ass pussy. Like, it's all these black chicks that like...
I've seen the show.
And people go over there and give me a fucking hot dog, you fucking bitch. And like, you'll call them and they'll be like, fuck you, motherfucker with the big ass head. Yeah, they call you out. And there's a chick in there that if you go in and order a milkshake and you pay $40, she takes her big ass titties out and like, jumbles them around and like apparently claims that she sent her kid to college. So yeah, mustard. I don't know. But yeah, because ketchup, I don't know. They're real big on like hot dogs. You can't ask for ketchup.
That's what we heard is like it's against like the rule. Like they won't serve you if it's ketchup, I heard.
I think it's ketchup on a hot dog's okay, but mustard's better.
Okay. Question number two. Kins or puppies?
Puppies. Any day of the fucking week.
Yeah.
Man.
Okay. Good. I'm happy that you said that.
I think we have yet to have a kitten person.
Well, Fleming for a second was like, maybe sometimes kittens.
Kittens are cool, though.
He gave like a half and half.
Cats are kind of fucked up. I'm super allergic to like big cats, but kittens aren't. I'm not. I don't think they have the dander yet or something.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
Something to think about.
Dander? What the fuck is dander?
It's a shit that they produce that makes you allergic. It's like a it's like shit.
Like dandruff?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like a dandruff.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I apologize for all the burping, too.
Take that out.
I'm gassy today.
Take that out. Jesus.
Not good.
Whatever you're drinking is fucking you up. Okay, number three. Are you a bar soap or loofah kind of guy?
Bar soap.
Yeah, I didn't even know that answer, but I was... Yeah. About to answer that for you. Yeah.
Irish Spring green.
Yeah.
Standard.
See, I do Irish Spring too, but I'm a soap and loofah kind of guy.
Loofah's nice. Yeah. Loofah's nice.
You go bar soap though.
I go bar of soap, man. Just straight on the skin.
I guess I should have mentioned this in the first question, but Keith, one of the new things I'm adding to this, which we haven't asked anybody else on here, because I think up these dumb questions all the time. But in St. Louis, I mean, because we do have people listening that are not in St. Louis, and we never really explained the whole high school thing. And I don't expect to explain it now, but for anyone outside of the area that's listening, just know that a huge thing, a point of reference for us St. Louisans, is where you went to high school. I'm not exactly sure why. I'm sure there's some history to it, but even if we've had other guests on the show that live outside of the state, and even when, I mean, even Josh, when we had Josh Davis on a couple few episodes ago, he said he was meeting people in Shanghai from St. Louis, and they were asking what high school you went to.
No way.
So it's one of those things where it's just kind of like, you get you know what it is? It's St. Louis's easy way of immediately judging.
Yeah.
Just right off the bat. You got judgment. Right.
Oh, yeah.
So, Steve, we know this answer, but what high school did you go to?
I went to Bishop DeBerg. DeBorg. On Eichelberger and Hampton, the best school in South City.
Oh
wow. God.
We had girls.
About all that.
It was great.
We had girls, man. It was cool. Okay.
We had a Dairy Queen.
You guys did have a Dairy Queen next year. That was pretty cool.
Fuck that Dairy Queen up. I ate like my freshman year, I think I went like 20 days in a row eating two double cheeseburgers a day.
That's pretty epic.
Dude, we were all about it.
Oh, they had the 2 for $5 at that point, though. Yeah, that was a good deal.
Think
dude.
About it, man.
That was a really good deal.
Yeah, every day. Even if I had lunch, we'd do it after school. But Bishop DeBerg, Keith, that's me.
Keith tried doing that like after school one day at Mary's. He tried doing like the whole DeBerg thing, but he walked over the gas station and then got jumped. Wait, was that you?
I was robbed.
Robbed. Yeah.
Gunpoint?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that like? Is that the only time that's ever happened?
Not great. That was the only time in my life I've been robbed. Yeah, that sucked.
Fuck. What did that feel like? So they pointed, did he just say like, give me all your fucking money?
Well, it was like a pellet gun or a BB gun. and then like another dude flashed a pistol in his pants. But like I didn't know if it was like a pellet gun or a BB gun.
Sure.
So it was like, I don't care. Take my cell phone. That sucked.
What was it? A razor?
No. It was
it was probably badass.
At the time, it was
probably one of those Nokia bricks, man.
No, it wasn't a Nokia brick. It was a Nokia. It was one of the flip phones. But I had this fucking stupid ass, because you remember the plastic covers that you could put on those old phones? Do you remember that shit?
Yeah, the custom snap-on covers.
Yeah. From the mall kiosk? Yeah, dude.
You get one of those just like money.
Like dollar bill.
Yeah, dude. I didn't have that.
You'd be like, dude, sweet fucking case, dude.
Dude, I had the dumbest fucking one. It was a monkey, and it just said monkey in around.
That fits you.
Retarded.
That fits you perfectly, though.
Oh, yeah. Traumatic experience. I'll never forget it. Yeah, good times, though.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, but this motherfucker I was with, though, I don't know, man. The dude just had amazing street smarts. Because it was like early spring, so we were still like in jackets and everything. Dude slid everything up his shirt sleeves. So he was like, dude, I don't have shit on me.
Classic.
I was like, God damn it. Why didn't I think of that? Motherfucker, no, I'm the dumbass. Just gets fucking robbed. Yeah. But eventually caught the dudes. That was a weird day.
Did you get your stuff back?
No, never got the stuff back. But I actually had to like you. It's not like on the shows when they give... They tell you to point somebody out in the lineup. You know what
right.
I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it was like, they gave me a sheet of paper because there was three of them. They gave me a sheet of paper with six people on it for each of the three suspects.
Okay.
And actually, everybody I was with ID'd all three suspects out of the three sheets. So,
so it was just like a printout. Like it was like a printout of headshots.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No names or anything. So I don't even know who they are, but it freaked me out because they were telling me I might have to go to court. And I was like, I don't want to see these motherfuckers face to face.
I was just going to say, you're lucky. I've heard of people like doing that. And then them just being like, walking up, like, here.
Like, pointing at you.
No, like,
you
they walk
like,
up to the car and, like, hey, is that the guy? And he's like, yeah. And, like, the guy's just staring at him. Like, that's, no. That's the worst way to do it.
Fuck that. Cause, like, yeah. I remember those motherfuckers' faces, too. Cause, that pissed me off. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I wasn't scared at the time, but it was all right. I was like, I don't know. It's just my shit.
Yeah.
Like, just take it, dude. I was 14. I didn't have any fucking cash. Like, what did I have? I didn't even have like a driver's license.
That expensive phone case.
Yeah, I think I might have had my lunch money for the week, you know, like $20 or something. But yeah. So those dudes went to jail.
Long story short, some justice was served.
It worked out, yeah.
That's hilarious. That's funny. I don't even know how really that, oh, high school. Okay. Sorry to bring that up, Keith.
it's all good, dude.
Steve, man, being in Chicago, you know, we were talking about the ketchup and hot dogs. We always talk about pizza on here. And, you know, I'm being St. Louis guy. You know, with the rap. What's the one kind of food or dish, we'll put it as a whole dish, that you would win an eating competition in?
Oh, man.
It could be anything, by the way.
Maybe Cecil's thin crust.
Really?
You're going fuck pizza? That up.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's Cecil's is like real thin.
Yeah.
And when they cut it up in those squares, I could fuck up like a whole XL. I actually did what do you call it? What's that place over on Big Ben and Clayton Road? Pointers?
Yeah, Pointers. Okay. Oh,
I've attempted that twice.
Really?
That eating contest,
it's a two-person thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's two people. You get like an hour. And you have to down the whole thing. You could either do two meats or four vegetables, but you have to like, that's the stipulations.
Isn't it like 5 pounds or something?
It's like 20. Oh, dude. Yeah.
Oh,
it's like 20 pounds.
Do you guys get
pizza.
Close at all?
It's like as big as that fucking table. It's like a few feet big. The first time we almost did it, like it was.
Really?
I went to Fompon right down the street. And so they, every year, like the student council would, sorry to spin this out into a.
No, go
ahead. By the way,
I think it's called the Pointosaurus is what it's called.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I would say chicken wings too, maybe. I would fuck up in an eating contest. Yeah, yeah. I would fuck some chicken wings.
That's Griffin's.
I need to know how close you got to that challenge though.
Yeah.
So I've attempted it twice and they give you $500 and like a plaque and a shirt if you do it.
Whoa.
So,
oh, shit.
Let's do it.
Yeah, you should try it. But the pizza is like $60 or some shit, but it's fucking huge.
Okay.
Oh, God.
So it's that like, I think the first time we did it, we tried to do four vegetables, maybe. Either that or the two meats. I can't remember. And we came close, man. We had about like a medium pizza left.
Oh, man. Oh, heartbreaker. Man.
Like that volume. Mm. And I was just like, oh, I couldn't do it. I could not eat anymore.
Yeah, did you get sick? What happened?
And so, yeah, the first time I felt like fucking shit.
For
I
days.
Felt so bad. I went up into my room and I passed out. It was like noon and I woke up at 8 p.m.
Oh,
like
shit.
I was legit food coma. Yeah, dude. I fell asleep and I woke up at 8 thirsty as a motherfucker. Like I was so thirsty from all the salt intake, but I was still so bloated from all the pizza that I couldn't drink any water. So I was like, God damn it. It was like, it was fucking painful. And then the second year I did it, I went right to the bathroom and fucking gagged myself. And
really? It was that bad?
Yeah.
You learned from the first time?
Yeah. And the puke was awful. It was like super thick
because
it was so fresh. Yeah. Like it was not digested at all. So it was like puking up just like batter. It was like the worst fucking feeling.
Like what's the quality of that pizza? Is it good pizza or is it just shit?
It's good pizza, man. Okay. I think it might even be hand tossed.
Okay.
Okay. We've asked this question before on here. You got a coupon for a 2-topping pizza. You going double meat? Meat, veg, or double veg?
Steve likes to mix it up, though.
Yeah, I'd probably go meat, veg. Like
see?
Jalapeno.
That's what I said.
Jalapeno bacon.
Nice.
Yeah, you guys ever
green
fuck with
pepper
that?
Bacon. I fuck with
that. Never put jalapeno on there. That's a good idea.
Yeah, spice your life up a little bit.
I do love taco pizza, though.
That's a good idea.
Taco pizza. Yeah, from Happy Joe's over on Watson Road.
That's dope.
Oh, dude.
Or you can get the best taco pizza, though, is what's that place on Watson? Hendrix used to always.
Happy Joe's.
No.
Way, what are you talking about? There's no other
way further down. Starts with an S. I always forget the name of it.
I have no idea.
Sbarro.
Yeah, it's a place in the mall.
Is it a taco pizza?
Yeah, taco pizza.
I don't know. What's your favorite style of pizza? Like,
I don't know.
Genre. Like, do you like New York hand tossed?
I honestly don't know. I don't know
St.
the
Louis
difference
style for sure.
I just eat whatever, dude.
Big fan of
Rafe was on here last week. He put in a good way, man. And for me, I think it the same way. Like, I love emos because I think emos taste different than everything else. But anything other than emos, Rafe put a good way. It was just like, it's just pizza. He's like, he's like, I travel all around. It's just pizza. And yeah. I'm kind of that way just because I don't haven't experienced that much enough to know, you know? So I don't know. I'm a bad one to ask.
All right. I got a question for you, Steve.
Yeah.
As I ask everybody, makes fun of me for asking this question, but hard shell taco or soft shell taco?
He's actually thinking about it.
Yeah.
This is
soft.
Yeah.
It's gotta be soft.
Yeah, you don't. No one eats.
But
hard
I do
tacos.
Like a crunch. I do like a crunch every
I
once.
I love
in a while.
The hard shell taco, man.
But like, in a Mexican place, like an authentic Mexican place, you go hard shell.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's Taco
not,
Bell.
They're not giving you hard shell. At yeah. Authentic Mexican.
That's
place.
What. That's what had to. I had to. Like those Doritos ones are pretty good.
That's what. I'm
that's what everybody
man.
Says is the first
Doritos Locos, dude.
Steve, man, finish this sentence for me. Oh, dude, I know Steve Raines. He's blank.
Guy. he's, you mean like describe who I am?
No, just finish the sentence.
I know Steve Raines. He's.
Like, hey, Keith, you met Steve before? And Keith says, oh, dude, I know Steve Raines. That dude is a
comedian.
There you go. Hey, that's
there
all.
There we go.
Whatever, man. I also got a question for you, dude. Now, this is a super general question. I don't even know if you'll be able to answer it. What's your favorite? See, like, when it comes to, I like asking people questions like this. So, give me a break here, but what's your favorite thing? If you could say other than comedy as a whole, like, what's your favorite? What would you say, like, your favorite thing is? See, I like asking that because it could be, you know what I'm saying?
It could be anything.
It doesn't have to be a material object.
No, it could be any. It could be an activity. It could be
wow, love? I don't know.
Steve.
I don't know,
Casanova,
man.
Casanova over here. Okay.
Love. Favorite thing. Music, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Just because I can't imagine not having that in my life. Like, if there's a couple days when I don't listen to music or play the guitar or fuck around or something, I'm like, oh man, I haven't done that. Like, that's not so maybe sure. Maybe I'd say music.
Yeah,
or
that's a good answer. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. I like books. I like a lot of shit, dude. I like a lot of shit.
I
like
that.
Too much shit. That's my problem.
Well, that's why I thought it'd be a good question for you, because I know you get into some stuff, man. A lot of stuff.
Yeah, I just
at the same time, like, yeah. you'd be bouncing around doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, which is a weird thing because I can't tell if it's good or bad to have a lot
it's
of
for sure
ideas
good.
And a lot of projects going, because you worry about being, what's the old saying, a jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah,
yeah.
But at the same time, I'm convinced that like it forces me to like explore new,
for sure,
parts of my brain, and then the shit that I like gets better.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I don't know, man.
But
I think 100% that it's better. I mean, especially what you're just saying. Like, my whole thing is I do that all the time. I bounce around from this to that to this. But the whole thing I find is when I do my bouncing around, it's kind of like what you just said. I'll end up coming back to like three things. You know, it always comes back to one of those three things. And I feel like when that cycle comes back and I come back to one of those things, I get a little bit better at that.
Right.
Because it's like I do all these things, but I end up at the things that I really want to do or care about.
Right.
And then it's just, I feel like it gets a little better. I don't know, but I'm with you 100%.
Yeah. It's like by learning new things and trying new things, you remember how to approach learning things and progressing or something. Like,
for sure.
No, I would say I totally get that, especially
towards the things that you find out that you actually really, really care
about.
Yeah,
yeah. And then you settle back into your groove of what you like. Or,
for sure.
I don't know, but it can be chaotic.
Are you one of those dudes that gets on a subject and then just dives straight in, learns as much about it as he can, and then, like, I guess kind of goes back and then, like, applies it to another aspect of your life, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, kind of.
I think that's what Nick was kind of trying to say. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I would say Steve. Yeah, for sure. Steve.
Yeah.
And I get into obscure things and where...
So you're pretty like curious in nature?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I gotcha.
Yeah, like I like to dig at figuring out why things are. Like trying to find the true essence of certain things, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Authentic ways, the best kinds of food, the best way to build something.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you know, you have goals that you really want to achieve, but
mm-hmm.
it's like, to what degree do you drift off the path? You know, so it's a fine line. I think
right.
it's a fine line.
For sure. No, I'm right mm-hmm. there with you, man. All right, my last question for you, Steve. I don't know if Keith has any, but my last one. You still a big coffee guy?
Fucking huge
okay,
coffee
I
guy.
Know you're a big coffee
a
guy.
Lunatic.
So tell me, number one, your go-to spot, and number two, what's your go-to if you're either making it, which I know you like to make a lot of your stuff.
Sure.
If you're making it, or you know, you're going out, like what's your type of beverage? You know, okay. there's so nowadays coffee exploded over the past 10. Yeah. You know, I feel like it's like one of those things, and now you can basically. I mean, there's a every day I learn a new way to drink or consume coffee.
Right.
So give me a little bit of lowdown about what where you at in the coffee game.
Straight up, not too pretentious. There's a whole lot of really fancy places that talk about nodes and shit.
Yeah.
My favorite way to drink coffee is like free refill diner style. Like
okay.
A group of buddies sit at a diner and you can have like 8 cups. It's like $1.25. The cream. Good.
Yeah, dude, okay.
It's good.
Yeah.
But I like a cafe. Like I like the vibe of this. There's a place in Chicago I go to called Eva's. Feels like you're in somebody's like fucking basement. It's like all brick. It's got a fireplace.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So that's like a nice, cool, sort of trendy, but it's not too like, yo, welcome to the coffee.
So that
Nirvana, dude. Where
so that's
you
what
can
I was,
have
yeah.
your sip of coffee and it'll send you to the cosmos, bro.
So that's what I was asking. You're not into like all the different presses and.
But I, in a way, I am, which is kind of weird.
You like to mix and match a little bit.
Yeah, in a way, I like things. It's like we were just talking. It's like sometimes people I'll come across something and be like, holy fuck, I didn't know that you could have that kind of taste that way. And I used to only buy pre-ground coffee. But then I live with a chick up in Chicago, and she insists on buying beans.
Yeah, I just started that
and
recently.
Grinding them. Yeah. And so now I'm like, ah, she's right. Like, that's
it's a different
the truth.
Ball.
It's better.
It is. It's a different.
It's
ball
fresher.
Game.
It's it's got better smell. It's like heightened. So now I'm like, oh yeah, you kind of got to have whole beans. But I won't stray away from a little diarrhea coffee from the fucking gas station. Exactly. Or I'm there a kind of guy that's like, I like coffee. Like, give me a 7-Eleven. Give me a QT.
Okay.
But I like the diner cups, the big ass cups, and you get a refills.
Yeah, man.
Some old hag pours it for you. Yeah, it's best.
Yeah. Keith, you got anything for him?
No, I'm good, man.
Okay. All right, guys, listen. So we got to know Steve a little bit, and I think it's time. I say we move on.
Yeah.
How sounds about good. It?
Theory of the week.
Theory of the week.
Okay. Now,
Dugan theory.
Yeah, rarity.
This is rare.
A rarity for the show. And I figured, you know, man, I haven't done anything for a while. The last one I did was so stupid. I just feel like, you know, I gotta.
Denver Airport, right?
No.
Or was it dinosaurs? And
dinosaurs
the pyramid?
Building pyramids. Yeah. This one's dumb, but I think it might be able to spark a little conversation.
Okay.
Let me guys ask you this.
Lay it on us.
Have you guys ever heard of the time cube theory?
No.
No.
Steve.
Time cube. I'm excited.
All right, guys. So this fits perfectly for us too, Keith, because the guy is not only from Florida, the guy who started this theory.
Of course.
But he is the self-proclaimed wisest human ever. Okay? Self-proclaimed. This is in 1997. There was this dude from Florida. His name was Gene Ray. And in a second here, we're going to play a little audio from one of the interviews that he did.
Nice.
He's got the hardcore Florida accent. It's kind of tough to hear what he's saying, but we'll address that when we get to it. So this dude, it's kind of hard to explain because this theory it breaks off into a lot of different segments and it goes a lot of different ways. But what it started as was he was saying that the Earth is broken up into four different time zones. Okay?
Okay. Like... Like now, actual time zones?
So what he was saying was that one here, let me read this.
Yeah.
I'll let you guys see this picture too. But he's basically saying that the Earth is a cube, and that's where the time cube comes from. And that the four things he called time cubism, and the Earth that within within one time that the sun goes around the Earth,
Yeah.
4 days are simultaneously happening.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because... Okay.
So,
okay.
Like layered on top of each other.
So he's saying that say, the four...
A cube would have six sides.
Well,
right?
we'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that. No, Gene Ray claims there's only four sides and that there's a top and bottom.
Okay. Well, that would be six.
But he doesn't count the top and bottom of the sides. We'll get
okay,
to this. We'll
okay,
this.
Okay.
But he's saying, so here's the four split ups, okay? Midnight, 6 a.m., noon, 6 p.m. So basically what he's saying is, when the sun is setting over here on the left side of the earth, on the right side, completely on the other side, when it's daylight over here, it's nighttime over here. But yeah. On the other half, if you like do the half, the other two, if, let's imagine there's four sides.
Okay, yeah.
Then that one side is sun rising and the other is sun setting.
Okay.
So he's saying that four simultaneous days are happening at the same time. That's what his theory is. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I can show you this, this picture actually isn't very good.
It's kind of like the multiverse.
Well,
it's like four days are occurring simultaneously.
Yeah.
That's what he's kind of saying?
I think so.
What'd you call it? Cubism?
Well, it's called the time cube theory.
Time cube.
I think he called it time cubism. Now, I should say that a lot of people disregard, I mean, the thing is that a lot of weird stuff happened with this guy and this theory, because he put on 1997. He had his own website. It was a single page, just text, but it had all these crazy, crazy like passages and like not only claiming the time cube, but like claiming like a lot of homophobic and racial things and God eats those who don't believe, you know, like a lot of weird, like just crazy stuff that people are like, this guy's just a lunatic, man. So a lot of people are just automatically discredit. But you can actually go, if you Google time cube, the theory, there's somebody like, so his website got shut down, but somebody like copy and pasted all this stuff and made their own.
Alive.
So you can check it out. You can see what I'm saying, how it's just weird stuff. And that's where it kind of get, when I said it spreads out into multiple things, for me, it kind of spread out into a little bit of a cultish feeling. Because of that, he actually, I think, was diagnosed later as like a legit schizo. But let's get back to the theory.
I was going to say, he claimed he was the most wisest man.
Yeah. So, well, because his other thing was that he was, as he was proclaiming the time cube theory, he was also proclaiming his own conspiracy theory that all of education and science is basically purposely misleading when it came to this. You know what I mean? That he was proving the academia as a whole wrong and proving that they have been falsifying basically all of their teachings. Okay. Now people are like, what the hell? What's going on? Here's where it gets kind of weird. He went on a couple shows, a couple radio shows. It started getting big and he had a lecture at MIT. Okay.
Okay.
And he actually had another lecture at Georgia Tech. And he was offering all of his publicity. He would offer $10,000 to any academia that could disprove his theory, and any regular person he would offer $1,000 to. And rumor has it that many people discredit it, but he would just say, "No, it's not true," and just not fair. So let me, before I really just, I probably already did really just slaughter it, but let's play a little bit of this interview here. And just see what he says himself. Yeah. Maybe that'll help it out.
You've probably stumbled across timecube.com. This is a site that explains that there are four different simultaneous 24-hour days within a single rotation of Earth. Not one, which means I've been missing out on three happy hours a day, I suppose. Per day, but your time cube principle deserve to be spit on publicly.
Here we go.
From Atlanta, here to explain the time cube, its discoverer and champion, and the self-proclaimed wisest man who ever lived, Gene Ray. Welcome to the show, Gene.
Thank you, Martin.
So, Gene, you say that I'm stupid because I believe that when the Earth rotates once, there is only one 24-hour day. But your time cube principle disputes this, no?
Right. It has four corners. When it shines at midday, it simultaneously creates a midnight. Where the two majors join, it creates the two minors of sunup and sundown. And each corner quadrant of Earth rotates to its own separate 24-hour days.
Well, the Earth is a sphere, though. It's not a cube.
It's composed of four quadrant corners. Each corner cut, it rotates in four different directions simultaneously toward midday, midnight, sunup, and sundown. It rotates those directions simultaneously. Each one of them has its own separate day.
Gene, how do you know this? What's your proof, scientifically speaking?
Explain it.
Here it's in the cube. You can see it. You can't deny that. Offer any academic institution, any professor $10,000 to disprove it. They can't disprove it, so they ignore it and run and hide.
You're offering $10,000 to anyone who can dispute the time cube principle?
Institution or professor.
Not me. If I beat you in a debate right now, you're not going to pay me
$10,000?
$1,000 for me? That's all right. I got my own model of the time cube right here. Where'd you get these things? Like a Magic Mountain?
Well, they're paperweights. You can buy them.
He's going off of a paperweight right now.
But they represent the time cube.
But this cube, this has six sides. The cube has six sides. You say there's four separate days. That doesn't make
Keith.
Sense.
Here you go, Keith.
How can you call a top and bottom a side? You call the top of your bedroom and bottom of your four sides? That's
Listen.
Dumb.
That makes a lot of sense.
Now, everything, the solar system has a top and bottom, front and back and two sides. Earth has a top and bottom, front and back and two sides. The human has a top and bottom, front and back and two sides. Now, the human head has four corners, nose, two ears, and a back corner. But they don't have the one corner face. It's only one-fourth of who they think they are. One corner. But they go around the four corners in a lifetime. The baby, the child, the parent, and the grandparent. Uh-huh. We don't recognize human...
Now, see, we're about to get into that. This is where I said it stems off into other things. You could hear him say that everything has four. So basically what I think started to happen is people started saying time cube this, time cube that.
A parent, a child, and a grandparent.
Well, this is where I get into the cultish thing. Is because then he started moving it into, well, everything. The solar system. Not only the world, the solar system, and then he said the person. He said a human has a front, back, a top, and a bottom. And he was saying that your face is 1/4 of your human body, which that just is like doesn't even make sense at all. But basically what he was saying though is that there's four stages of life. Okay. That's what he was saying right here.
Okay.
To where baby, infant, no, it's let's see. Baby, child, parent, and grandparent. Okay.
Okay.
And he said the four corners of a person's head are the face, two ears, so two sides of your ears, and the back of your head. He's like, that was like his basis behind this. And he said he relates it to the four seasons that we have, the four major seasons.
The number four, eh?
And he also...
this dude's a nut.
He's also known to relate it to the four corners of complexion, which are black, white, Asian, and Indian. Okay. Now, guys, I know what you're thinking, man. Like, what? You're just talking about some random guy. You guys can Google this. It caught a bunch of steam back in the day, and it's probably his webpage alone turned into a huge thing. Because
Flat Earth has caught a bunch of steam lately.
Yeah, that's weird.
Right. Well,
I met one of those guys.
No.
A Flat Earth guy?
A Flat Earther, dude.
Oh,
and
man.
I hate to say it, but... the way he was not.
Oh no, Steve.
No, I'm not a flat earther. But the way that he was saying, he wasn't like 100% the earth was flat. His whole thing was like, how do you fucking know? And then I was like, yeah, dude, but science. He's like, well, how do they know? And I'm like, and I get it because to a point, science fails.
But there's astronauts that have seen the earth.
Well, yeah. The flat earth thing, 100%.
Yeah.
And then we were talking about evolution and shit. The guy was fucked up, but...
So this is where Gene is coming from, because he's saying that to a certain point, what you're saying, Steve, is...
Well, then... Yeah, go ahead.
That
sorry.
These guys are... They're just... You know, that they don't know. That's basically kind of what you're saying. Like, it only goes to a certain point, and Gene's figured it out. Yeah, these guys don't know. You know, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, right.
So this is where it also gets kind of weird too, because let me check my notes real quick. So after he relates to everything, people start making a couple documentaries were made about this guy, this Gene Ray, and this one dude named Richard Janczarski. I pronounced his name wrong. I'm sorry about that, but I think he was from Australia. He flies all the way over. He's Ride or Die fan, biggest fan. I think he called himself like Cubehead, or like he also is apparently claimed himself as the second wisest human.
Oh god!
So he's following Gene Ray's footsteps. Flies to Florida. They hang out. He follows them everywhere. Records a bunch of stuff, which you can see on YouTube. You can see these videos. Rumor has it, then this is 07, I believe. In 2008, he flies home. He gets, I think, because what I understand is Gene Ray kind of started morphing into kind of a religion-ish thing, which I think that's where I get the cultish feel from. And Richard, I don't think, was having it and kind of, I guess, saw through the bullshit of whatever it was. Flew back home and mysteriously in 08 committed suicide by running in front of a train. So Gene's got some interesting things going on with his whole story. But if we go back to the time cube, where are you guys at? Talk to me a little bit about this. Where one side, four quadrants, 4 days, one is midnight, one is
one
6 a.m. Wait, how? One's, so it's 6 a.m. It's midnight, 6 a.m.
One's darkness,
noon,
one's brightness, one's sunset, one's
sunrise.
Sunrise, yeah.
Where are you guys at on this? Is this just complete shit? What is this?
Well, I see a sunrise and a sunset every day. I see darkness and light every day. So yeah, this is absolute bullshit.
But he's saying though, not in the same spot though. That's what I'm saying. In four different in the four quadrants. That's how they're all having their own day.
That it's like 4 days spread out?
No. That like, if you were on the right side and Keith was on the left side and I was in between at the 6 a.m. and somebody else was at the 6 p.m., we'd all be seeing different things happening, but we'd all be within our own one-day cycle.
That's how it is, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that how right now in Italy, it's 7 hours. It's a different day. Like, it's a different time of day. But if you go even farther, it's like almost a day's difference.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But it's not the...
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm confused.
Somewhere
it's
in
like,
the world when this sun is going down.
Like, this sun is rising somewhere else right now.
Yeah.
That's happening.
Yeah, no doubt.
And it almost sounds like that's what he's saying. Like, I don't quite get what he's saying, I guess.
Yeah, neither do I.
I think he's insane. He sounded kind of insane. Like, it didn't... None of it really grabbed me as being at all valid.
Should we play a little bit more and just see what he says?
You can, yeah.
Yeah.
See what he says.
Go for it.
He sounds insane.
I can't help notice that you're wearing a hat that says Time Cube from MIT 2002. Are you a professor at MIT? Did you teach this at MIT? What's the story?
No, I lectured up there last year. It was a student thing. They had about 500 students from MIT, Harvard, many other universities around there. And they treated me like Einstein there. But the school was not sponsored. I had $5 cash offered. Any professor would come down and explain the time cube and disprove it. But they run and hide. Academia cannot allow this to be known because it contradicts everything that they're teaching.
Really? I mean, do you think that this should be taught in schools from kindergarten on up?
The guy with the highest IQ, I think, ever is from Missouri?
No. Is that a thing?
Yeah, dude.
Really?
Try to Google that if you can. I think he's from like Farm, Missouri, and he's like a fucking farmer.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was in Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers. They talk about like people who stand out, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And this dude's got like a 200 IQ, something fucked up. Whoa. And he's sitting there like working on these complex formulas. This is a little off topic, but like complex formulas to try to prove the existence of God. And I think he still lives in Missouri. But it's weird because his circumstance, he's so smart, but based on his circumstance, he never was really successful.
Mm.
So it's like not just brains is like, what's his point, I guess. But
okay.
I don't know. That guy sounds like kind of like nothing that he says sounds like, oh, whoa, that could be.
So I think this
valid.
Is probably, my question was when I was looking at all this stuff, how could nobody, and I get the whole point of where he just, you know, people propose things to him and he says, no, it's not right. But how could somebody clearly not shut this guy up? And I think that it's just he really jumbled it so bad that it just actually doesn't make sense, right?
Well, it's really easy to believe your own bullshit. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, I'm not even talking about him, though. I'm talking about us. Like, understanding-wise, none of us are really having a clear understanding of what's happening. I mean, this also is because I'm explaining it, which is a thing.
But I hate to sound like Grifford, but there's a lot of dumb people.
Yeah.
They just want to believe in something.
Right.
Because they have no structure in their life. So they just want to believe something's real so they can follow that something. It's just like a human syndrome, I guess. Like, you know what I mean? Like, not everybody is a follower, but at some point you follow something.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have to in order to have some kind of structure in your life.
Right.
Well,
right.
Here's my thing.
Like, you have to think it's better to have a job than to not have a job. it's better to have money to pay for things than to not have money. You know what I mean? Like, or else everybody, we'd be stuck in the Stone Ages still. Like, there'd be no invention. There'd be nothing. You have to follow some kind of purpose.
Yeah, you have to have meaning.
Yeah, you have to have meaning. That's a great way to put it, actually. And I feel as if this gave some percentage of the population meaning, because it made sense to them in some way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess, yeah.
I just could get on board with that for sure.
I'm just trying to figure out, because like you guys were saying, like, I get where, like, if it's setting, if the sun's rising, people are going to see it in all different places, right? Like, well, if you're in different places, you're going to see different effects of it. But the fact that he's saying that everyone is basically, I'm having a hard time understanding, like, living a separate day.
That's where I'm having trouble, because everybody lives a separate day because we all live in our own lives. You know what I mean? It's not me and you see the same sunset just from different perspectives, you know?
Like, but the thing what he's saying, though, is that...
Which is crazy. Like, which is crazy. Like, it is kind of really nuts. Think about that, yeah.
Like, he wakes up and he sees the sunrise in a completely different way than I wake up and see the sunrise every day.
And we're very close to each other, you know?
Yeah.
But what he's saying is that one day is one full rotation.
Yes.
He's not saying that, though. He's saying one rotation is actually 4 days because of the different effects that these people are seeing.
Right. Okay. Which is weird.
I can kind of follow that. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Right. I'm doing a bad job of explaining.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I kind
of
he's get what saying, you're saying
that since, it's hard to explain.
Since one person is seeing 6 a.m. and this other guy is seeing 6 p.m. and this guy over here is seeing midnight, and
it's
this guy's seeing
4 days.
He's saying it's 4 days.
Yeah. And as opposed to one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. See, Nick, don't blame yourself, man. You're not the wisest man on earth. Say, you know, you can't explain it like the wisest man on earth.
Not only am I not credible, I am not the wisest man. I know you guys probably. Yeah. You guys
and
probably.
The time cube theory at MIT that did 4 days and 2 paperweight.
So I should say this too, guys, is everyone out there listening, the video that we just watched and what he was referencing is this paperweight is literally it is a paperweight. It's like a $2 thing you buy at a gas station probably back in 2005 of, you know, like, you guys know the stress balls? You know how they used to make them in Earth?
Yeah.
It's basically that glued in the middle of like a plastic cube. And we have to also recognize the fact that Keith said, and they said in this thing, that guys, there are 6 sides to a cube. There are not 4 sides to a cube.
Well, what fucks me up and where I could say, okay, I get where you're coming from, as insane as that sounds, is time. The nature of time is always fucks with my head of essentially time is constructed, obviously. It's like it was an idea.
Yeah, and the
I almost brought up
numbers are an idea.
I actually brought up a theory. Oh my god!
Numbers prove things. That's the craziest part.
Yeah, right.
So they have to be constant throughout our universe.
God, I kind of
it could be clock, clock, click, clock, and that could be one in some alien form.
God damn it!
You know what I mean?
I really wish I would have brought other one up.
Isn't
the other one up is right in that ballpark?
Like, that's a decision to say that's one versus this is two. I'm holding up pens, holding up one pen. Like, someone decided, like,
that's when it comes to
words. Okay, we're
gonna
call that one.
That's just a word, though. One is just a word.
It's a concept,
but it's a decision, though. You're right, though.
But the number is a law, I guess.
It's constructed, though.
Yeah.
It's constructed.
It was, yes.
And it's provable, I guess.
Yeah.
But not ultimately.
No.
Oh, wow. That is kind of crazy because...
Oh, God, I'm really kicking myself right now. I had 2 theories. But this or the other one, have you guys ever heard of phantom time theory?
No.
What is that?
I won't get into it. I was going to save it for Griff because I knew Griff would really like it. I'll just give the very base of it. But they are claiming that the years, because of what you just said, of people that actually... time as a whole, that the way that calendars were constructed compared to the different time ages, that such a, this is a very paraphrased summary, but
yeah,
the way that they switched from the first calendar to the Gregorian calendar, whichever one came first,
yeah,
and the way that they organized and decided on time and the emperors or whoever was ruling changes, that actually the years of 611 to 912 never existed and were completely made up.
Oh, wow. That's kind of nutty.
Yeah, that's
and
nutty.
it goes really deep into what you were just saying about basically people deciding things, changing them, doing what they want, because we have no I mean, we have no way to actually verify. You know what I mean? Right, like what you were saying.
Right. Well, it comes down to like we live in what is like an inch and a foot imperial system, and metric, the rest of the world lives imperial? In the metric system, imperial system.
Standard.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
I don't know.
I think it is. So we live in literally entire country of inches and feet.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rest of the world lives in centimeters and meters.
Yeah.
And it's just wild to think about it because, like you were saying, that's just a concept. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're like,
who defined what an inch is going to be
this much?
Yeah,
right. Who defines what an inch is?
Somebody did.
Exactly.
Some point.
Somebody came up with it. But when I think of numbers, though, numbers have to exist to build things like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So that...
It's weird. It's weird.
And I also think, this is kind of a side subject, but I think people that live longer in life have a different perception of time. I think they live their lives slower.
Wait,
people that live to like 117, like the oldest people in the world, I think they live their lives slower than like people that die at 80.
What do you mean by live slower? Are you talking about like actually time?
Yeah,
or are you talking about just...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I don't know, man. It's kind of wild to think about.
To me.
Yeah. It's wild to think about. Maybe they just perceive time as slower because like at the age of 25, I think I'm old as fuck right now. So you know what I mean? But somebody else like you could think you're just young as hell, just beginning life. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's like you almost feel younger because you perceive yourself as younger. Your perception of yourself is still young. And my perception is I'm old. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but is that necessarily, that's not like physically living.
But I think your mental state, deal with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. I think your mental state has something.
You know what I mean?
If you perceive yourself to be younger at heart and soul,
yeah.
It will essentially lead to you living
but
a
are you saying
life.
that thought process, are you saying that thought process will like help you decide, make decisions and stuff that will ultimately... Like
No. Because time is the only thing everybody agrees on throughout the world, which is the craziest idea. The calendar and time are the only thing every single human being in this world agrees on. Think about that. Like we disagree on everything else, but time and the calendar are the only two things the entire world agrees with, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I really wish I would have brought that other theory. I'm going to be fucking you guys up right now.
Like, and I'm no expert. I'm a fucking idiot. Like, but I like to think about this kind of shit.
Oh, yeah,
and
for sure.
Thinking of, like, relativity and what Einstein was talking about when he was talking about time, of, like, how if you could go faster than the speed of light, like, you're existing in a slower... So, like...
Yeah.
You would age more than me... If I was going the speed of light or something like that. So like you could essentially go so fast that you stop time.
Which is just wild to think about.
Yeah. Yes. To where a second, if you're going the speed of light, you could go fucking it changes, it warps the time.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you'd like a cinematic experience from that, it's called Interstellar.
Yeah, they show
Interstellar was wild, yeah. Space corn.
Dude, people knocked on that movie. I really liked it, but
no, I enjoyed that. Yeah.
So, okay. So we get to this thing, man, and it's time, okay. And we're talking what we just talked about. So I want to go around the table, man. Steve, what we do is we give a percentage of how much of the theory we believe, man. How much, guys? Give me a percentage of what you believe, Gene Ray, and what you believe of four simultaneous days of a cube time cubism.
2%.
2%.
Yeah, I'll give him 1%.
One.
Yeah, I gotta give a percentage because who the fuck knows?
Yeah, at the end of the day, I don't know.
That's a good point. But I'm just gonna be an asshole and say 0% because I don't know. I'm still like with the whole, you know.
You believe in science, bro?
I believe in science. I am a hardcore science believer. And one rotation to me seems right from what I know, which isn't a lot. But
who's to say that's 24 hours though? That's where I'm like,
oh, okay.
Who's to say that's 24 hours?
I believe it's in 24, a cycle. It's 24 but who of came these up with,
ticks that are there. Who decided a second was the second?
Well, yeah.
Why isn't
okay.
Why isn't time counted 5 seconds? What is 5 seconds? Was 1 second? Would we perceive the entire world different?
Yes.
Would you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, for sure. Yeah, you're right. No, I mean that's a valid point.
Like that's wild to think about. Like,
why does sometimes 8 hours feel like a second, and yet sometimes it feels like eternity?
Why is there a second dial on a clock? We don't
secondhand?
Do we don't well, yeah secondhand. We don't do things in seconds. Besides, like count people's 40s and shit like that. We do things within hours. So
well,
like,
you calculate the minute.
To a minute. Yeah,
yeah, you calculate.
I guess, but like I don't know. I don't achieve things in 1 minute.
Just
usually,
like
you
just
know
like
I mean?
Now.
Like, I don't know.
Just like now, it just keeps going down. I mean, like eventually, if we need it, they'll keep. Like here's my example. Back in basketball, you just had the shot clock. When the shot clock was going, you just had the second. Now you have the seconds and the fractional seconds that make up that 1 second. And if they need to, 20 years from now, if they really need to, they'll go to 2 decimal points and 3 and 4. And before you know it, that shot clock's going to be the size of the backboard, and it's going to be 25 points. And it's just one of those things where just if you need the calculation, all right, let's break this down. But it goes back to Steve saying, where that original makes, calculation,
dude, you made me think of like matter. Like, so if you take a compound and you split it in two, and then you split it again in two,
yeah,
you can't. There, you where do you go? You go down to like an atomical level, and you can't go farther.
That's the thing.
No, you can always go farther.
Can you though?
Okay, then split that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So it's infinite. So well, basically, we're talking about
with time. It is for sure. It is
infinite.
Yes,
but is it designed
as long as the numbers will go?
That's the question.
It was made to go as long as numbers can go, which is
infinite.
It's infinite.
Yeah, I guess it has to be.
I mean, that was kind of my point with the shot clock. Is like they'll keep going as far as they need it, and it'll keep going if they need it. It'll keep going as long as numbers go.
It's like, yeah. It's like
it's all a mathematical equation.
Is expanding.
Yeah, it's constantly expanding.
And so my question is to you guys, since we're talking about conspiracies, how many times has it contracted and how many times has it expanded?
Well, in...
You're talking Big Bang Theory, right? Isn't that the theory
exactly.
of the origin of the universe? That everything was contained in a ball and then it went like exploded and spread, and we're currently like spreading out.
Yeah.
And that's measurable. Like, our planets and our planetary system spreading out. So when it's almost like goes in and then blows up, right?
Well,
I don't.
Yeah.
It gets sucked back into a rhythmic, like,
the
spread
whole,
out.
And then it goes back in, though? Is that what you're saying? I don't fucking know about that, man. I honestly just don't know.
See, dude, that's
dude, everything happens in a cycle.
I believe in cycles for sure.
So I like the universe is on a cyclical expansion and contraction.
But,
like what functions outside of that?
Well, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Like what created that?
Right, right.
That's the craziest part. What created matter in life as we know it?
Well, let's not. Okay, let's go back a little bit. But it's funny, though, that you bring up the cycle, though, because that's exactly what this theory is about. Is do you believe in the cycle that you were taught your whole life in school? And that's what Gene Ray's getting at, is when it comes to time and it comes
to... get deep on that shit, dude. I love talking about that.
That's why I like it
too,
man. But you got to think, though. That's why I chose this theory, because it can go a lot of ways. But you got to... When it comes down to it, do you believe in the 24-hour cycle that we taught and raised our entire life and that everybody somewhat believes? Or Gene Ray says... All these guys are full of shit. They're teaching you Crocs is shit. And there's actually, I'm not even saying believe him. I'm just saying,
no, I know.
What about the thought of thinking of it in a different way?
It's,
you know what I mean? Well,
I guess we could say it's functional in the sense of civilization.
I think it's functional in the way of
the 24-hour cycle is functional.
I think it's functional in the way it's proven.
I think it's functional thinking of different possibilities, just of like creatively thinking. It's functional. You know what I mean? Just like presenting different thoughts and like having people think of it in a different way.
Dude, think about ancient people before time, though. This is related. Before time, How did you know how old somebody was?
Stars, right? They did everything off of stars.
Did they count? Did they keep track?
Yeah, they did.
Well, I don't think they kept track because they probably didn't care.
I don't know.
Right. They were probably more worried about survival.
You think there was a young guy there that was like fucking 60 that everybody thought he was like way younger because they couldn't keep track of
dude, that
they probably thought he was 400 years old actually.
Yeah, or like wise men. Well, yeah. Like
I think
who
it's,
the fuck knows how old. Some
I think
of those
it's really
were.
Easy to keep track of days though, especially back then because I mean you see the sun, you see it go down, you see the sun again.
Right.
So like, and I think. Isn't like a lot of shit just based off like people thought they were going to die because they didn't see the sun when it went down, you know? Yeah.
The night was always like kind of like signifies like darkness.
Well, until
chaos
like,
and
until fire
destruction
was harnessed. I'm pretty sure it was probably a pretty chaotic time.
Pre-fire. Holy fuck.
Pre-fire would be pretty fucking nutty. Dude,
pre-fire. That's like a mind fuck right there is to think of wandering on the planet. Pre-fire.
Yeah.
That's happened.
Fucked.
You better hope there's a full moon, man.
Oh my God, dude. We have it so easy.
Oh, you're not saying.
Oh, yeah, dude.
We're generations.
That's why when like people get so pissed about the day we live in, dude, we're living in the best time ever. Oh, dude, like
nothing to do.
Like even like our kids, they'll be living in the best time on the earth ever.
Yeah.
Oh, for you sure. know what I mean?
Yeah,
their
yeah.
kids will
I don't know, though. You think?
No, yeah.
It's just sterile, man. I don't know.
No, it's all going. It constantly goes up. There's never a retraction.
Yeah, yeah.
It's constantly moving forward to something better.
I do think we're missing things from the past, though. Like I do think we're missing.
So you're like an ancient aliens guy, or
no? I think we're missing a connection with nature.
I'm an ancient aliens guy.
A connection with nature?
I think that's pretty.
I don't think so because I think we're learning how to control nature. Because, like, the Dust Bowl happened, and then we realized, oh, we need more nitrogen in the ground. So we started planting soybeans every 3 years compared to just corn every year. You
I guess
know
more
I mean?
So on an individual basis. Like, we're not mucking around outside enough.
Oh.
To be like, well, I guess, I'm going to live, and I'm going to die, and there's a whole functioning system, like, outside of me that's, like...
Oh, that's gonna go on way longer than us. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Because
right.
species are always going extinct and everything like that. So it's like the human beings could go extinct at any time and the earth is still going to be here.
Dude.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was thinking about mindfuck a while ago about like the concept of organic and inorganic.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's like people are like, oh, that's not organic. Or this technological progress is like sterile and... It's metal, not organic, but yet everything is created from the earth.
Yeah, we get everything from the earth.
It's like essentially an evolutionary function of the natural world. Was like our species turning into like a technological cybernetic.
I mean, for all we know, we were created by the earth to give the earth plastic and steel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like it's a natural progression of our species.
Yeah.
There's some fucking crazy theories about that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm all about that stuff, man.
It's just like a natural progression of the earth, I think. Like, it's... I don't know, man.
What if we're literally, like, creating a whole entire, like, bundled up thing of information so that we can, like, abandon this planet and, like, go to another one and, like, re-inhabit another one?
Well, I think that's going to be...
Could very well be.
Because we're like harvesting information and like collecting it. And like
they call it the information age for a reason. But do you believe in any kind? You know, a lot of people, when they say that, though, they not necessarily that we're just going to pack up and take everything with us, that it's more of like another alien form kind of either watching or, you know, kind of.
Right, propagating.
Are you into anything like that?
Aliens?
I mean, just the fact that maybe we're doing all these things and it's just we're an ant farm for...
Right, right.
Something, you know what I mean?
They're gonna like come harvest us.
Just
soon,
to like you know, there's a bunch of movies that say like, hey, let's like it could be Earth is just like a project. Like let's start this and see what happens. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like if you think about movies like Hunger Games or Maze Runner, all these movies that are like
or the band Alien Ant Farm.
I've
never like made that connection.
I'm just saying, like they figure out. Well, yeah.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
You were right, though, what you just said but about the band. But Well, you know, they figure out like, oh, this is just all set up. It's a test. They wanted to see, you know, if we could finish the maze or we could. Really, though, that's just a story of it could be interpreted, I do a lot of times, as maybe Earth is just a huge fucking test.
Well, we're the aliens.
We're the aliens. I know, but I'm saying like as a planetary whole, though, as a solar system, as a whole. Yeah,
like the whole thing is this, some sort of.
Maybe we're just a little bug. It's just like a little.
Like marbles.
Yeah. They're like, there's some. Maybe we're aliens. And Keith, and I say, hey, Keith, did you check on Earth, man? How are they doing? He's like, oh, yeah, dude, they're fine.
The hardest thing for me, I know what you're saying.
Who knows?
Believe about
is
like
that crazy?
No, dude.
The hardest thing for me to believe about like finding alien life form is like the science is constantly telling us like more and more, like it's so hard to have an Earth in the universe. Like it's so hard to have an Earth.
Okay.
A habitable planet.
Yeah, because like if you think about it, yeah, okay, you can find a planet in the Goldilocks zone. But do they have a big enough planet like Jupiter with a gravitational pull to absorb all the space debris to it and destroy it before it actually gets to Earth? Mm. You know what I mean? Do they have big enough planets beyond that that are going to protect Earth from being hit by asteroids and everything else for millions upon millions of years? So it makes it just so much harder.
That's true. Okay.
To find planets like us,
yeah,
which is just wild. It makes you almost think we were created.
Well, that's when you got to start thinking about black hole theories, though. Yeah. Do you ever look into that?
No, I haven't. You should look into it.
We were created.
Yeah.
Weird and awesome, but I was thinking like, so we're looking for aliens out there, right?
Yeah,
and I was thinking, what if you could perceive aliens, they're existing on another dimension.
I love interdimensional talk.
That's what blows my mind. And I was like, what if it's a matter of instrumentality? So like, we didn't know bacteria existed until we had a microscope.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, fuck. What? There's a whole nother layer of like activity and certain degrees of life. Like, can bacteria perceive us? And vice versa. It's like, what if there's a functional being outside of our perception and it's a matter of instrumentality to view it?
Oh, fuck.
Like, then I'm thinking like...
I mean, that's not crazy. Like, you just... It's not crazy at all. I mean, it's happened.
Dude, DMT. You've listened to Rogan, so they talk about this a lot.
Yeah, DMT, yeah.
And I've talked to people who've done it and say that they get projected out of their body. Like this dude told me that he was like, yeah, I felt a little fear at first. He said, and the whole trip lasts like 15 minutes, right? And he's like, yep. I felt a little fear at first. And I had a thought that was, how will I ever find my way back to my body?
Oh.
And I was like, dude, holy fuck. I could never do that shit. And there's multiple reports that they come into contact with another.
Yes. That's the one that and...
I think
it's called ayahuasca. Yeah. DMT and ayahuasca is like that's like where you go. That's like another dimension from what I hear.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard like Sam Harris? You know who Sam Harris
is? Yeah.
Have you ever heard him go down that path of like back when we were just really just setting out and becoming civilizations and everything? That's where we got the theory of God. Was through these hallucinogens from the earth and
burning bushes.
Oh yeah,
man.
Yeah. That's where we got the theory and everything. So it's wild to think about. But then there's like completely sober people that also have the experience.
Yeah.
So it's wild, you know. And is it all chemical or is it something else? Is it like a collective that you can tap into?
Yeah.
Or is it just the untapped? Is it the brain untapped? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it that untapped section where they say when you have an outer body experience, maybe a near death?
Yeah, they maybe say that brain, with near death
your
people,
brain,
yeah.
Maybe your brain ticks into that for a split second, ticks into that other section that we can't get into. You know what I mean? Because the brain, there's still so much that we don't know.
Well, they say a lot of things are like lucid dreaming. Yeah. That's another way of like tapping into this collective information, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, meditating and things like that. Like, it's interesting. And I come from kind of the stance of, like, I think a lot of people use that stuff to say, oh, well, that religion was founded upon hallucinogens, that, oh, it's just a chemical experience in your brain, you know. But it's like, I don't think that that necessarily disproves.
No, anything. It doesn't at all.
Right.
No. Like, I
if anything, yeah. It makes me more open to the idea that there could be some sort of ultimate soul or transcendent or nature.
A higher power.
Well, they say that those drugs, the ayahuasca and the DMT, are basically just opening and accessing those, whatever you call it, that your brain already produces. Those
chemicals.
Yeah, chemicals and stuff that your brain produces. It kind of just accesses it. Like, you can't, you don't just, your normal day, you don't get access to it. And so the DMT and ayahuasca or whatever, it kind of like opens something up. I don't know. This is dude bro science, like keeps saying, but basically allows it to flow through a little bit for, and it's only super short, 10, 15 minutes from what I hear. And
maybe that's all you can handle.
That's what I'm saying. Well, because it is a known thing that at least I know with ayahuasca, I don't know about DMT, but it's like when you do ayahuasca, you're supposed to have trash cans and stuff. It's almost a guarantee, like you're going to puke. It's
that intense.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is like a serious thing. You're not just gonna take it like a pill and be like, "Whoa, that's sweet." Yeah. You're like, it's like you wake up and it's like
9 hours of nightmares, or crazy transcendent.
Joe Rogan. You should listen to Joe Rogan. He talks about all the time talking about other dimensions and feet and different shapes and all these crazy things that he gets into, and it's very interesting.
I listen to this guy Terrence McKenna on YouTube, and Rogan talks about him a lot too, and I've listened to his lectures, and he was this ethnobotanist, he was studied plants and traveled all over the world, and he's pretty fucking crazy, like far out, but scientifically oriented and super well read. So it's he has theories where you're like, holy fuck, that's hard to reckon with there. Like, that's pretty good, but it's also pretty far out. Like, he's got this stoned ape theory that was like, he thinks that consciousness evolved from monkeys following shit patties on cows, and they found psychedelic mushrooms and started like eating them as a dietary source.
Yes, I've heard that.
And so they're like, oh, that's food. Like, that's fucking food. And the cows shit. And so they would start eating tons of these. And it led to like the development of cortexes in the brain and shit.
Oh, wow.
And consciousness evolved that way. But he's got weird theories on that. But
I've heard a bunch of stuff like that. That whole missing link thing, you know, like, when did we actually become Homo sapien? Because we're Neanderthals, but we inhabited the earth the same time as Neanderthals. So
I don't know, but I got to say this. What Steve was saying about that, the reason I only, is because I know firsthand, Keith, you know who I'm talking about. I have known firsthand people that have gone the other way of a normal functioning person and done a certain drug and something just snaps.
Oh, really?
And it's just the next day. And from that time on, it's been a totally completely different person.
See,
complete 180.
When I say
in a bad direction, you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
Just in a very, very noticeably different. I mean, lifestyle changing different.
Really?
But when I think about that, Nick, I always think like DMT and this, what was the other one you were talking about?
Ayahuasca.
That isn't man-made.
Right.
Acid's man-made.
Yeah.
So it's like
chemical.
It's flawed.
Well, I was just saying. Yeah, like, I was just saying.
Right, that's the whole thing.
Which is the organic versus inorganic. It's like it's man-made, but what if it was? Is that unnatural?
Yeah,
right.
That's the whole thing.
Wow.
I'm with you though, because
we just connected like eight different talking points that we had.
Yeah.
Right there. Do you realize?
This is all bro science.
Yeah. No, I know, but that was a nice come around though.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I know what you mean. I don't. I don't think everybody necessarily should go out and run and do LSD.
Yeah, no,
not at all.
But it's like crazy shit.
It can be.
I've never done it.
But I was gonna say I've seen it be a life changer.
I've never wanted to do it really.
Yeah,
because I always imagine me having a bad trip on any like crazy hallucinogen.
Yeah, see, no matter what that is, you'd go in with the mentality you'd be fucked already from the get-go.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you'd have the worst time.
Pot has fucked me up enough to where I know I'm like, dude, my way reaction to that is like. Enough to where I'm like, I don't know if I need a whole bunch of shit like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, those are for the guy. Like, listen, I love going deep and stuff, but Man, that's, I think that's going a little too deep. Yeah. That's going too deep for me, man.
I like sobriety too much.
Yeah, it's cool.
But that isn't even like a, like I said, that's
it's
only,
nice.
I mean, it's not even like mushrooms where you're fucking tripping all night or whatever. It's literally 10, 15 minutes for this stuff. It's like not even, you know, these people say these things, they do it. They don't do it as like a drug, you know, they do it literally for like soul searching, life searching, meaning searching. Mm-hmm. It's not like, yeah, we're tripping shrooms tonight. And let's see what happens. Let's hang out and smoke weed. So it's, you know, it's like, I want to look for something. I want to just see what happens. So they're definitely going in on a deeper meaning, a deeper level.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it's boundary dissolving is what they, I've heard that.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
It's like they call them like boundary dissolving chemicals that just like allow the floodgates to come in. And it's like, if you're not put together enough, it could just be nightmares all the way down. You know, it's like,
yeah.
And there's ideas about dreams too that are weird, where it's like your dreams are your unconscious existence.
Don't even get me started on dreams, man. I am me and Griff too, who's not here.
I'm reading a book about dreams right now. That's pretty fucking crazy. Yeah, Carl Jung.
What is it?
It's the Carl Jung. It's like he's a guy that followed after Freud, like after his teachings and shit.
Okay.
And he was big on the unconscious, and it's fucking with me. It's crazy.
I love that, dude. That's
it's
like,
crazy. It's like all about. Like unconscious dream symbolism and interpretations.
Yeah.
I'll
have to get that stuff from you after the show, or, because I'm huge into it. I'm really big into the dreaming.
I don't know if I brought up this dream before on the podcast, but I had a dream 2 years ago. I guess it was.
You remember from 2 years ago?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
This was a very vivid dream.
Okay.
It was the craziest dream I've ever had. I haven't had it again since. It was 2 years ago, like late spring. I guess it was like late May. Blues were in the playoffs. I remember this. And I had a dream. I was over at this dude's house. I can't remember who it was, but a nuclear bomb went off.
Dude, I've had nuclear bomb dreams. Go ahead, though. Yeah.
And it was the craziest thing, because like I was looking at everybody, and it was like this weird house party. And like I was over at this dude's house. It was a weird house party. And I'm like, dude, fucking nuclear bomb. You see the mushroom cloud and everything.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, like, I guess what felt like 5 minutes later in the stream, another one goes off.
Oh, you got double bomb?
Yeah, and you hear these sirens going fucking crazy. And I'm freaking the fuck out. Like, we got to get out of here. We got to get the fuck out of here. And then I woke up. Like, it jolted me up out of my sleep. Whoa. I was like, holy shit, what the fuck was that?
And it was so powerful that it stuck with you for years, literally.
Oh, yeah. That's one of those dreams that's probably going to stick with me the rest of my life. See? I will never forget that, because it was so vivid.
That's wild that
it
you can be...
It was such a vivid image of two nuclear bombs going off in my dream.
It's wild. It's wild that you can be unconscious and feel something and have something so vivid that it does it wake you up,
it was
that you
powerful,
literally don't
dude.
Forget about.
It was powerful.
Dude, I've had a couple of those nuked dreams too, and dude, I was like, dude, I was talking to my brother about it. I was like, I had a fucking nuclear bomb dream yesterday, and it was like that. It was like I'm in the street by my parents' house or something, I think, and off in the distance I heard like a colossal rumble, and then I look over and I was like, oh fuck, and it's like a perfect mushroom cloud, and then it turns the dream into like, we got to go. Like, we have to go.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, like, on the run.
Yeah.
And now, this might sound silly, but have you ever Googled?
Oh, I did.
The dream?
I did.
Because there are actually a lot of...
And
Steve, have you ever done anything like that? Googled?
Yeah, I've Googled and stuff.
Your dream scenarios? Like, what actually happened in your dream?
Because I've never had a dream like this, so it freaked me the fuck out. So, like, I immediately tried to get answers for it, and it was just like, oh, there's going to be a big life change. Nothing ever happened. Mm. So I was like, oh, okay.
I know for a while my girlfriend was having dreams where repeatedly her tooth or teeth would fall out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Apparently that's a big thing. Crazy. It's a big, like a stress. It's like a big stress. Apparently it's a big thing that a lot of people have. You know, it's just one of those things, like, you're like, I keep having this weird fucking dream.
Yeah, that's a common
where
one. I've heard a lot of
people. I pull my
say
tooth
that.
Out and it's weird. It's like, what? That is weird. And it's like, you wouldn't think of like, what dreams about pulling your teeth out? But you'd be surprised that if you have weird dreams, what I'm telling people out there listening is, if you have weird dreams and you're like having these conversations, like I keep having this weird, just Google it, see what comes up, man. You never know. You know, I bet there's people out there that have the same fucking thing going on.
Dude,
something maybe.
Yeah, and I think there's something to that. I mean, the the shit that I've been reading about the Carl Jung guy is like, it's too hard for me to even like figure out how to talk about it. But it's like basically that you can take, you can help yourself by analyzing your dreams because they're representations of your own self.
I mean, that makes sense.
In different manifestations. And also that, like, you have two personalities, like a shadow side and a light side, and that, like, they come, like, certain dreams are your unconscious sending you messages.
I could see
to
that.
Your waking self.
The voice in your head and the voice you project, in a way.
Yeah, like your projections versus your inner.
That makes sense.
It's interesting stuff. And the archetypes of, like, tyrants and the villain and the shadow and, like, It's interesting shit. I can't even really break it down because it's like the first brush with that head with it. But it makes me think like there's significance to dreams.
Yeah,
no doubt.
For sure. I want to get that information from you. I don't really want to dive into the dreams because that's a huge, huge thing. We kind of did, but
you're good.
Yeah. And we've already been going long enough. I think maybe we're not going to have time probably for some weekly weirdness, but I think it's about time to wrap up, man. So
okay.
Let's before we get out of here, what we like to do, Steve, is we like to have some shout outs. So Keith, why don't you start us off? You got any shout outs this week?
Yeah, shout out for Steve coming on.
Hey, shout out.
And Mike Matheny. I hope you make it, bud.
Ooh.
Not looking too good.
Is that a shout out? That's more like a threat.
It is. if you don't turn this ship around, you're gone, bud. End of this season, you're gone.
Oh, man.
Sorry, man. You're coaching Little League before you stepped into the big leagues.
Oh, boy.
Not going to lie. You're handed the keys to a Ferrari and kind of blew it, bud.
Woo.
Damn.
Bye.
Sorry, Mike. You're talking. He's the only baseball fan on the podcast, too. So get out of here, Mike. Just joking.
I mean,
you got to show him love, though. He's a former Cards player, man.
Well, he's obviously a good human being, just a terrible major league manager.
How good of a player was he? Was he really, really good?
He was good, man. I remember.
Is he a Hall of Fame caliber?
No, he wasn't Hall of Fame caliber.
Good catcher.
But he was on he was like the scale right below. Like the really good player you'll remember.
Because he won a
couple. But not like Hall of Fame worthy.
He won a couple, right? Or no?
No.
He didn't win anything?
No, because Yadi took his spot. In 2004, and then he went to the Giants. He went to the World Series with us in 2004 when like we had the just most unstoppable team ever, and then we lost to the Red Sox. Yeah, fuck that. But went to the Giants after that. Yadi took a spot, and
okay,
yeah, never looked back.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, man. I'm gonna shout out Steve too, obviously, because one, we appreciate you. I know you had some stuff coming on. You know, going on in St. Louis, but we appreciate you stopping by, man.
Dude, no doubt.
And it's good, obviously, great to see you as always. Hopefully, we can do this a few more times. But yeah, sure. I want to also shout out a company that I came across on Instagram, man, the other day, maybe earlier in the week. Guys, I want you guys, if you're in the St. Louis area, or if you're not in the St. Louis area, but you just feel like picking up some St. Louis gear, man, you should really check out this company. It's called Arch Apparel, and they're doing some really cool stuff. You can catch them at archapparel.com. That's their site. They got it's St. Louis everything, man. They got these really cool shirts that are like, they got really dope hats. I'm for sure going to buy some hats, but they got these shirts that are like all St. Louis stuff, and some of them are really simple where it just says STL, but some of them are cool, like the STL. It's like it'd be like a black shirt in the STL, but it'll have like the St. Louis flag as the S and the T and the L. You know what I mean? Like,
did we get a sponsorship?
No, I wish so. I hope so. God, that'd be great. But no, I'm just saying, like, they're doing some cool stuff, man. So go out there and check them out. And you know, I'm always, like I said, we're always trying to push the local stuff. You know, if you're doing something cool, well, I'm with you. And I mean, they got a customer right here, so I'm in on it.
Right on.
Steve, why don't you, you got anything to shout out, man?
Shout out.
Plug
shout
something,
out to you guys. This is awesome. Keep it rolling, man.
Hey, thank you.
Keep
it Appreciate
rolling.
That.
This is good shit. Good convo. Shout out to that Salt and Smoke on Hampton. I saw that going up. Did you see that?
Oh, no. Is
that old
thing?
Matthew's Kitchen was?
Oh, no.
Oh, I did hear about
Dude,
it.
Dude, Matthew's, it used to be not a Del Pietro's, but some. Was it a Del
Pietro's? I think it was Del Pietro's, then Matthew's.
Yeah, they're putting a barbecue place.
Wow, Salt and Smoke's good, too. Okay. It's a serious place.
I think that's it. And shout out to St. Louis, no doubt.
Yeah.
Good to be in town. I come back all the fucking time. I love it.
Yeah.
It's cool. Best.
All right, man. Well, good stuff. Listen. We appreciate you, man.
Hold on, Nick. Yeah. You got anything you want to plug, Steve?
Plug? Old Judge. We got shows up in Chicago. If you're ever up in town, hit me up, whoever. But that's about it. Hopefully we'll be coming out with some other side of the track soon. That's the plan.
When that starts up, we'll for sure mention that because, like I said, we're already big fans. When that gets going back again, not only will you guys be doing it, but we'll for sure mention that. And like I said earlier too, just go out to YouTube, man. Search Steve. Search STL Up Late. He's gonna come up. He's in a bunch of stuff that they did, and it's some really good stuff. You guys got to check that out.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, for sure. And so listen, we went pretty deep. No weekly weirdness, but here's what we're gonna do next week, guys. Technically, you know, we were doing the every fifth episode we're gonna do a special episode. Well, it just so happens that we have a guest filled in for the 45th episode. We're gonna have Shane on from a cool local podcast called Rock Paper Podcast. That's what the title is. That's gonna be a good time. And Keith will actually be out of town that week. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna flip the special episode from 2 weeks. It's actually gonna be next week. So next week's gonna be episode 44, but we're gonna do a special episode. So make sure to tune in for that. Also, we got something we're planning on it right now. We got some good stuff cooking up. And you guys also know, man. You guys know the deal, man. You guys can find us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're on SoundCloud. Anywhere you find your podcast. Anywhere you find your podcast, we're there. But especially, man, do us a favor, man. Head over to Apple Podcasts, your iTunes, whatever you want to call it, and search us. Give us a rate and review, man. Leave us a review and let us know how we're doing, man. And that'll help us judge what's going on. Also, if you got anything to comment, do we just sound like crazy people talking about Time Cube? We probably did. We probably talked about crazy people talking about a lot of shit that we just talked about. Hey, you got any thoughts? Anything to mention? Any ideas? Comments? Whatever it is. Send it to us, man. AnythingButCredible@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. With that being said, man, we hope everybody out there has a good week. We will. We'll definitely have a good week. And I guess we'll see you all next week.
Peace.
Yep. See ya. Take care.